Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 296, recorded on May 28th, 2016. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I am well.
Sweet.
Yeah. And Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's sunny in this part
things
of
are well.
The county. Yeah. We were going to go surfing, but then the weather in Morro Bay is crap. So, no. Which is weird. It's weird how there are those microclimates up here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But whatever. It is what it is. We're recording earlier. So, more iPhone 7 stuff. Did you guys see the case leak from, nowhereelse.fr from a case maker?
Is that the one with the speaker holes all the way around?
Yeah, the four speaker holes. It's pink or purple, rather. It looks pretty real, as in it looks like an actual thing. And there are definitely four speaker holes. And it's interesting. I'd say the most interesting thing beyond the four speaker grills is the flash appears to be oriented vertically with the camera lens rather than horizontally.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it doesn't fit with other phone design rendering so that we've been seeing over the past few days.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I don't know what sort of benefit we would get from four speakers. I mean, perhaps two speakers would give us a benefit, but I'm not sure on such a small thing. That and the fact that it's still positioned very close to the camera, they would have to do some kind of audio pipe or something. And it seems like it'd be technically possible, but it seems very, very tight, especially considering it looks like the camera position may even be closer to the edge than it is now. So it's questionable. It's a weird thing to see, especially when you take into account the other device that's blurred out in this rendering is just like a bejeweled golden iPhone case.
Yeah. I'm thinking this leaked case isn't right. That's just my Jedi instincts.
Yeah. You think it's something that somehow someone acquired and it's just not what Apple's doing?
Yeah, or someone like 3D printed a case based on the specs that have been leaking and, you know, just based on the rumors.
Yeah, it is odd. I'm going to say probably not. But I do, the one thing that is interesting, though, is it does have antenna bands that are almost unnoticeable because they're the same color as the metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they don't go across the back. They go, like, up over the top, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the rumored new design that it's going to go like that.
Yep.
It's been out there for a while.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then there's this other image that looks via 9to5 Mac shared on Weibo. It effectively looks like the iPhone 6 minus the middle antenna bands. And it has the flash in the same spot. However, the camera is protruding and looks to be a bit bigger. A little more convex as well. Did you guys see this one?
Yeah, I saw that image. That was a weird looking thing.
It is weird.
I think that's just maybe a light effect.
That's possible, yeah.
Because it looks like the camera's like a little bubble.
It does.
Almost yeah. like a fisheye lens or something.
Exactly.
Like
that. Yeah, it just looks wrong.
Yeah. Now, I kind of buy this, especially if we're expecting to see the dual camera setup in the 6 or the 7 Plus, it makes sense that Apple is going to be doing something still with the smaller phone to improve the camera, and providing a larger aperture for light would definitely improve things. So something, a bigger camera, not necessarily one that would take up as much space as 2 sensors, makes sense for the smaller phone. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the rumors are everywhere. And speaking of rumors being everywhere, let's see. Apple is reportedly, according to the Economic Daily Times, they're asking for higher than expected iPhone 7 orders.
Now, isn't this funny, considering the reports last week is that Apple wasn't ordering as many parts?
Yes. Yeah, that's why it's interesting. Analysts, I guess, predicted 65 million. They're predicting 65 million handsets. But this report claims 72 to 78 million units. And I suppose it's in line with the other reports saying that Apple is starting their, or the assemblers are looking to hire people a month earlier than typical.
Yeah, well, that fits with the whole, it's going to be more complicated to build things, so yeah.
Yeah, so this is where we realize that the rumors are rumors and... We're just kind of pulling things out of our butts.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is that no one really knows what's going on. And people are trying to build tapestries from the threads that they get out of the supply chain. And Tim Cook has made it clear in the past, trying to do exactly that is just doesn't work.
Yeah, we should find other ways to spend our time.
Right.
And the last thing about iPhone 7 that we have is it looks like a cutout, metal plate cutout, shared on Chinese site Baidu.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what they use these for is to kind of get a rough pressing of the casing. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah. So they get a rough pressing and then they CNC the stuff out and kind of shape it more precisely with other things. So what this shows us is basically what we've been thinking all along, the smaller phone is going to have the typical one sensor with a flash and a microphone hole. And the larger phone is going to have a effectively double wide opening for the camera pointing to a dual lens, and there are no holes or markings or indications of a smart connector on either of these.
You know, a couple of the renderings that I saw, you know, what I would expect to be included, like with machining specs, show the bigger phone with that smart port thing on the back, the three dots.
Yeah. Yep.
And not on the smaller one. So what I'm wondering is if people are looking at all these different little things that are coming out and they're conflating them into a single phone, or they're getting the parts wrong. So they're hooking them in with the wrong phone.
Yeah, I'm guessing that we're not going to see a smart connector on either of these. I think that might have just been an exploratory thing on Apple's part.
Again, yeah. I think unless they're coming out with some kind of accessory that we haven't heard about that is designed for that smart connector, that's going to make sense and be revolutionary. But, you know, yeah, just to have it there, it's just too odd. And especially if they're only going to do it on one phone. I mean, I get the dual lens thing, but if it is only on the larger phone, you know, I don't know, maybe Apple's deciding or thinking the larger phone, because it's so much bigger, could warrant some sort of keyboard accessory or something. But again, I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it either.
Yeah, it feels very, very, it just doesn't seem like something that Apple does. They don't put connectors on their devices for the sake of putting them there, for the sake of potential future proofing.
Right.
I mean, maybe in years and years ago they did stuff like that, but
no, now they didn't.
Okay. They don't.
So unless they have some amazing medical device accessory or some, I mean, there has to be a reason for that to exist.
Yeah.
Which would mean we would be hearing rumors of some other
accessory
thing at
yeah.
this point. Yeah.
Yep. And I think so.
So far, nothing. So.
Yep.
I don't buy that it's just for charging or something silly like that.
Yeah. Okay. So on to, well, let's talk about this first. So Apple has seeded the first beta of iOS 9.3.3 to developers. I don't think they seeded it to public testers yet. Is that correct?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
I think it's just bug fixes. It's so far we haven't really seen anything interesting. And the only thing interesting to mention is that Apple not only pulled the 9.3.2 update for the smaller iPad Pro, but they have not released a beta of 9.3.3 for that device either. So they're probably still working on fixing that bricking issue. Now, the interesting stuff that's been coming out this week, I didn't really see this coming, but there are rumors, according to the information, that Apple is working on an Amazon Echo competitor in addition to opening up Siri for third-party developers.
Well, it makes sense that they would be getting into this game.
Really? I don't see it happening. Okay, so for those who don't know, the Amazon Echo, and you guys are going to have to fill in some details for me, but it's a cone or a cylinder that you put in your house, and it connects to the internet, and you trigger it with a command, and you can ask questions like the weather, things from Wikipedia, those basically the same sorts of queries that you can do with Siri, plus I believe you can do some Amazon ordering with it. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. Google just announced a similar device, I think earlier this month. And I guess I understand opening up Siri to third-party developers. It's been a long time coming. But as far as having a device that just does that, I don't get it. I think that Apple would make the argument that it makes far more sense to continue doing what they've been doing, such as with the 6S, where you can trigger that thing, but you just happen to have it everywhere you go.
See, I have a feeling that we've been thinking about Apple's approach to this wrong, because Apple's not going to do the same thing everyone else is doing. They're going to do it better, hopefully.
Yeah.
So part of excuse me, part of the whole thing is, yeah, you can talk anywhere and stuff just works like we do with our iPhones right now. But I think Apple has an idea about how to make this ubiquitous in our homes so that we don't have to pull our phones out of our pocket. We don't have to press the crown on our Apple Watches. We can just do the sort of things that that people are flipping out over with Amazon Echo.
Are people flipping out over Amazon Echo?
Oh yeah, people love the crap out of that thing.
Seriously?
They're going gaga. Yeah.
Yeah.
What people? I don't know these people.
Well, that's because you're busy becoming a rocket scientist. But
so the people I'm hanging out with are too poor, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
No.
No, a lot of people in the tech media in our immediate community are going ape crazy over the Echo.
That's so weird. Yeah. I mean, I like to refer to it as the Amazon spy box.
Right.
Well, sure, because it could be that too. Yeah. Yeah.
But what does it do that Siri doesn't do?
It does everything that Siri does and more.
And it also does it reliably. For the most part, yeah. I've had a couple people tell me that they get weird responses from Alexa, which is the voice part of Echo, every now and then. But other than those people, everyone's like, yeah, it just nails it. It's dead on. It's perfect.
Huh.
Yeah.
But it's also a $200 cylinder that only sits in your home.
Well, not anymore either because they have the Dot now.
Right, but you need to have an Echo to order a Dot.
What's the Dot?
It's the $80 version. So it looks like a hockey puck as opposed to a cylinder.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is that really still the case? You still have to have an Echo to order a Dot?
Yes, which is so stupid. I looked a couple days ago because I was having a moment of weakness and thought, I need to get one of these, but I don't want to spend $200 on an Echo. So when I get a Dot, and what you have to do is tell your Echo to order you a Dot.
Oh. What if you go to someone's house who already has one?
That's a good question, because if you can do that, I mean, you give a friend some money, have them order your Dot for you.
Yeah.
So the
Echo, there's also the Tap Alexa enabled portable speaker, Bluetooth speaker,
right?
And is
those you can order?
Okay,
I believe without.
That seems more functional than.
No, I don't remember. The Tap is something different, though.
Yeah, Tap is totally different. Isn't that just the button thing that orders you a specific?
No.
Which one is that?
I think you have to have an Alexa to.
Well, I'm guessing that the Echo has a better speaker as well. 360 degree omnidirectional audio. I'm guessing the speaker is pretty good. And I actually happened to see them screwing with one on the Kardashians show. So. There's publicity that way too. But I think that probably the most compelling thing other than reliability, although I've seen Siri seems pretty reliable these days. The opening to apps, right? So you can have this thing order you a pizza or start playing, Spotify, Audible, If This Then That, Uber, you know, you can shout into your house and have your little robot assistant order you an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I think that once Apple opens to third-party developers and this thing is available to that, I don't see a reason for them to have a standalone device.
I think they'll want a standalone device that is basically just a microphone and speaker. People love the idea of walking in their house and just being able to talk, and lights come on and doors do whatever doors do, and
but they want stuff a smart just works. Home.
Yeah, people want Star Trek in their house.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon Echo, if it was $100 instead of $200, excuse me, I would have already bought one. Knowing full well that Amazon is mining data on me. It's just just that cool.
Sorry, so the Tap is exactly the same thing as the Echo.
Just a crappier speaker.
But it's cheaper and portable.
Oh, that's nice.
But because it's portable and not plugged in.
Uses your phone for internet?
No. It's not always on.
Ah.
So you have to tap the button that's on it.
Hence Tap.
To issue a command to it.
Okay. Now, and here's part of the problem. Trying to figure out what device does what.
They all do the same thing.
Yeah, but which one do you have to have before you can get the other? And yeah.
Well, so you have to have an Echo in order to order a Dot, but you can get a Tap right now for $129.
Okay. So can you use a Dot even if you don't have an Echo?
I think.
You mean, can you use a Tap even if you don't have an Echo?
No, can you use a Dot?
Oh, yeah. But like you said, you can't order one. So moot point.
Not necessarily. You could go to a friend.
Right.
My question is, how well does Ola Siri work when it's in your pocket?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
You have to take your iPhone out of your pocket.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
Yo Siri.
Why? Is it
because that's how they set it up?
Because it is, so there's some kind of sensor thing going on.
Yeah, it has an ambient light sensor on it.
And it has an ambient light sensor. It has proximity sensor.
So it's set up so that if it's in your pocket, Ola Siri doesn't work.
Correct.
Okay.
Which would make sense.
It does make sense to an extent. It can't hear you, unless,
basically.
Well, not necessarily. What about if you have headphones in? And you do it in Ola Siri.
Don't you have to hold the mic button?
Can you, well, okay, so here's what happens to me. I have a 6 and I plug it into my car, which once it's plugged in, of course, allows me to do Ola Siri.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the times I am walking to my car, I have Bluetooth headphones in, I go in, I plug it in, music starts coming out of the stereo. However, when I do the voice command, she listens to me through the Bluetooth speaker or Bluetooth headphones.
Oh, okay.
Which is odd. I don't know if that's intentional.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably is.
But I wonder what would it.
Apple doesn't do stuff by accident.
I mean, bug
things. The whole Ola Siri thing, though, the biggest problem with it is it only works about half the time.
Really?
For me, yeah. And especially if I'm in the car listening to music, forget it.
Well, I have to turn down my music.
Yeah, which is stupid.
Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, it's not Star Trek. So if in that,
yeah,
in
you
that
just
sense,
play your music too loud.
Yeah. What are you listening to? Future?
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, this has been the thing about the Amazon Echo that people have said that it's like super reliable. Like,
okay.
Well, it's got a bigger microphone in it, and it's probably a more sensitive microphone. It makes sense. It would be better. Just because it can use better hardware.
Right. But I mean, so getting back to the point, it makes sense for Apple to create this kind of functionality for Siri. But the thing is Siri has to be way better, too, about being able to do stuff.
Yeah.
For this to make a difference at all.
Well, they must have been working. I mean, they have teams working every day on Siri.
I'm talking about smarter about being and being able to access more data and more services as well, which may tie into third-party apps opening stuff up. But Apple's still going to ultimately suffer from their whole policy on privacy, on data privacy and user data privacy.
Right. Yeah, because they're not willing to mine our data like Google and Amazon will. They are at a disadvantage. They're not going to be able to make Siri proactively serve us as well as Google Home, Google Now.
Well, and to be fair, they could, but the problem is they're going to need partnerships with cloud services. And if Apple's not willing to give the data over to those cloud services for customers and for tracking and all those sorts of things, they're going to find it much harder to do deals with those service providers. So I'm talking about companies like Uber or, you know, now they could end up going through the app, I guess, and which may even make more sense for why you'd want to build it into the Apple TV.
Yeah,
maybe
so that's
those connections
rumor,
can
right?
be already set up. So I put the Uber app on my Apple TV, which has integration to the Siri API, and now my Siri, you know, home hub thing has more functionality.
Yeah. Well,
but
I do think
it's still more complicated than what the other guys are doing.
I do see big things coming for Siri this summer at WWDC. I think
I don't think they're going to open up a third party API.
You don't
really
think so? I think they have to at this point. I think it's time.
They do too, but again,
I think they've been working toward it for a long time.
Third party API thing.
That is one of the big rumors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know how they're going to pull it off with the and still maintain their whole privacy thing.
Well, okay, I'm not sure about the privacy thing, but one thing that just occurred to me is along the lines of deleting the headphone jack. So people are saying, oh, we're not going to see a bigger speaker where the headphone jack once was. What if we see a bigger microphone that's more reliable for Ola Siri?
Well, that's an interesting idea.
I mean, it's just, what if they say that, at least, I mean, I just hope that they give a reason when they release the 7. I hope they give a reason to get rid of that headphone jack, and if that reason is Siri works, you know, two times more reliably, if they say that, I'll say, okay, at least you gave me a dumb reason.
I'm still not convinced the headphone jack is going away this time.
Okay.
I don't know.
I do think that they're going to be opening third-party APIs to Siri. You guys think they're going to be doing a separate box, a Siri box, or do you think they're going to push it as part of the TV?
I don't know what they're going to do with that. Well, okay. The bottom line is no one has any clue right now what Apple's doing.
I can tell you what I want.
Okay.
So I want what I've always wanted for the Apple TV, and I want Apple to turn it into a true hub for my home media, my home automation, and if they can throw in this voice command stuff to it too,
I'd buy
so much the better. Yeah. And how awesome would it be to be able to do your voice commands for Apple TV and not have to push the stupid button on the remote?
That would be awesome. I'd love that.
Yeah.
All right. So we know if Apple makes that, they've already sold two, because you and I are ready to drop down some cash.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and if they're being really smart about it, they could even leverage, you know, if you do have your iPhone on you or something like that, you could leverage the microphone on that over Wi-Fi to issue commands as well.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'm in. I will buy this.
Sweet.
But again, they need to work on the software. I don't think this is as much about, you know, building a little box or device. I mean, I think that's really cool, but they have to seriously make Siri a lot smarter and a lot more robust and more capable. And however they do that, if it's through third-party APIs, if it's through, you know, leveraging their internal data better, that's been my biggest complaint. All I want from Siri is for Apple to make her smarter about being able to use the data she already has access to.
That's probably half of what's held the Siri team back all these years. Because Siri's been around for a long time. It's probably been half maintaining privacy and security and half figuring out a way to get third-party developers, these dumb third-party developers, to implement Siri properly. I mean, for what it's worth, look at the HBO app on the Apple TV. Mm-hmm. It is impossible to read what the hell those movie titles are, those TV show titles are. Do you guys know what I'm talking about here? The text is so small and so thin and so just like barely legible. And I've in my bedroom, I've got the older Apple TV, and the HBO app was designed by Apple, and you can like actually use it. So it's definitely an issue. I'm sure. I mean, you got to wonder, the Siri team is different than the Apple TV team. So I'm sure the Apple TV team has come to terms with that reality. But I think part of it is also, I wonder if it might be that Siri isn't as reliable as clicking on something on an Apple TV. And so bringing the reliability of the interface down even more by a poor experience executed by a third party developer, I'm sure has been just not something they want to deal with until they come up with a better way to implement that and to make it more reliable in general. So
yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm just Siri bashing, because I still love Siri. I use it all the time. But, you know, the frustration comes into play when you start to hit the limitations and you realize these are limitations this many years into having Siri that we shouldn't have. Like, yeah, we should be past these things already. And yeah, this seems to be a common recurring theme with Apple that overall concerns me as well.
Kind of a half-assing of a thing?
No, just that, you know, there's things that in the community we've run into challenges or limitations in different areas, and that, yes, Apple generally listens, but it seems like they're not listening enough.
Hmm. You know? Is it that they're not listening enough, or that they're moving too conservatively in some areas?
Or we've just grown more whiny.
No, I think Jeff's kind of hit on the point. I think it's a little bit of both of those things. I also think it's a little bit of Apple having too many balls in play as well.
That's like possible.
There's too many moving parts that compounds the issues, and I think causes the slow movingness.
Well, I mean,
that makes sense.
It does, especially considering Apple has kind of been was born and grown into a company that was basically set up for someone at the top, at the helm, to micromanage every single project.
Right.
And there's still a lot of that in their DNA, in their daily operations. I mean, don't forget there was the, Apple University, that training program that they implemented. It's still very much like that. And if there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of different things happening, it's hard for one or two people at the top to be able to micromanage things that way. And if it's set up for that sort of managerial style, a lot more things could potentially slip through the cracks, and it could cause an environment where things just simply have to move more slowly because the stamps of approval are slow to come. The reviews happen slowly. The decisions happen more slowly.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Now that I sort of started thinking on this a little bit, you know, Apple is at a disadvantage against some of its competitors due to the fact that all of their devices, they still have a very tight integration between. Meaning, like, they can't just do stuff with Siri and not consider, you know, what happens with Siri on the Mac or the iPad or on Apple TV. Yes, they're different experiences, and we don't have Siri on the Mac yet, but that's one of the things that's rumored to be coming. But those all have to tie together, right? So part of the slowness, too, might be coming from the fact that they're constantly having to weigh, like, integration and functionality and a lot of complexities, whereas, you know, like, when Amazon is doing the Echo, they're just doing the Echo, right?
Right, yeah.
They're just building that system, and that's the only thing they have to focus and concentrate on for that product.
Well, I think
it's not integrating with their computer platform or their Fire tablets or, you know, their phone that they used to have. I don't even think they have a phone anymore.
No, they don't.
You get what I'm saying? It's like Apple has to deal with all these moving parts, or even when you're talking about something like, you know, Samsung is just working on their phones. But Apple's operating system has to have connections and hooks into stuff that's happening on the iPad and stuff that's happening on the Mac and stuff that may be happening on the Apple TV or whatever future product they might be coming out with.
Well, that's a really good point. And so while I'm saying maybe Apple's moving too conservatively, maybe I'm saying that because I don't get to see the whole picture. And this right. is as fast as they can move because of all of those other elements that they have to take into consideration. I do like that everything is so tightly integrated.
Yeah, that's just the thing. So right. it's like a catch-22, right?
It is.
Because that's what makes the experience awesome and why we've chosen Apple as a platform, because all of our stuff works really well together.
Yeah, right. It works pretty well. It works pretty reliably. We've come to expect that tight integration. We've made that decision. And so the stuff comes more slowly. But at the same time, yeah, we could pick Amazon. We could pick Google and get that more bleeding edge stuff. But it may not work as reliably.
Right.
So I guess you kind of make that trade-off. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the way Siri works. I mean, maybe I isolate myself intentionally. Maybe it just happens because I don't use Google products. I don't use the Amazon Echo. But I'm fine with the way my stuff works now, because I know that as stuff comes out from Apple, for the most part, it works pretty well, and it works pretty well together. And I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. I'm still able to function as a human being without these edge technology innovations.
Mm-hmm. So you're okay living like an animal?
Yeah, it's fine. We've lived like animals for thousands of years. It's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. at the same time, you know, I just wish that Apple wouldn't. Another thing that it feels like they do very often is they come up with a great new technology, they come up with great new innovation, they integrate it into a product, and then it feels like it stagnates, you know? And
right.
like the ultimate recent example of this is freaking HomeKit, you know? It could be the most awesome thing in the world, but Apple launched it and it feels like, I'm not saying that they did, but it feels like they've all but abandoned it. And Siri sometimes feels that way a little bit too.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Because, it's frustrating because our expectations for Apple are so high.
Right.
And, yeah. and I think rightly so, because Apple has set a standard for themselves. And when we have a service like Siri that doesn't work perfectly, well, we get pissed off, and it's hard to remember when we're telling Siri to turn off the lights and she thinks they're already off, but they're not, or says she can't do it.
Right.
You know, it's easy to forget that the technology that's involved in making that happen is insane. I mean, you're talking to a slab of glass and metal and telling it to turn on lights, and it's sending signals to space and back, and then things are happening. I mean, it's crazy and it's awesome, but it really pisses us off when it doesn't work right.
I'm pretty sure most things don't get sent to space. Just
all
don't
I
don't take that fantasy from me, Michael.
I'm sorry.
All I know is that my HomeKit stuff got a million times better when I took my Raspberry Pi and I built my HomeBridge interface myself, rather than relying on all these freaking third-party hubs and things like that.
Ah.
So what you're saying is I just need to bite the bullet, go on Amazon, and order a Raspberry Pi.
I mean,
they're
I think everybody
$35.
But the point is,
$35.
Apple could build this. They could take the same open source software or write their own and make a freaking HomeKit hub that works with all of the HomeKit products. And what better thing to stick it in than an Apple TV? So, you know, that's why I'm all for it. If that's what they're doing, if they're building a little, you know, voice activated cool box and it's the Apple TV that's going to fix all this stuff and be my home hub, then awesome. Please, please do it.
So. Yeah, I'm in.
It's so needed.
Oh my God, yes.
I don't have any smart light bulbs.
Well, sometimes my smart light bulbs, I feel like they're special needs.
Right.
But I think it's really just that Siri isn't... no, I don't even think what it's Siri. I think it's HomeKit.
What brand are you on?
Philips Hue.
Philips Hue, yeah.
Yeah, I have three of the color bulbs and two of the white bulbs.
Yeah, I don't know. If you want to suck it up and get a Raspberry Pi and try Homebridge. I don't know. Once I put the Homebridge thing in, it was great. And not only that, it bridges to my non-HomeKit devices. So I can bridge to my Sonos, although there's not much functionality there.
And will it bridge to Wemo?
I think so. I'll have to look on the Homebridge. But it's open, so anybody can write a plug-in. So if it doesn't bridge to Wemo, chances are somebody else who has a Wemo will want to bridge to it and might write the plug-in. But it'll bridge to a Nest.
Yeah,
I mean, I have it bridged to my Nest. That was the first reason I got into it, because I was like, I want to be able to control my thermostat from Siri, and I totally can now.
Nice. Raspberry Pis are cool.
So Adam, do you have the Raspberry Pi 3?
No, I have a 2, but I have 3s now. I mean, if I was buying one now, I'd get a 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm actually on Amazon right now.
To jump the gun on the picks, because I didn't have one, but now my pick is going to be the Raspberry Pi 3 or the Raspberry Pi 2. Either one is good. I would go with the 3 because it has built-in Wi-Fi, and then you don't really need anything else. Built-in Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. It's got the HDMI. It's got 4 USB ports. It's got the GPIO pin stuff, so you can get a breakout box and stuff. It's $35.
So when I buy one, should I buy just the Raspberry Pi 3 motherboard, or should I buy one of the starter kits that has a bunch of parts with it?
I would get a starter kit that includes a case and an SD card with Raspbian pre-installed.
All right.
And with a charger too. Something that comes with a charger. The charger, the SD card, a case.
Okay. Well, yeah. Just FYI, the charger is a micro USB.
But it needs to provide 5 amps reliably. And a lot of the chargers that even the like my iPad ones didn't work reliably for mine.
Hmm.
So I just say it's easier. And plus you're probably already using all the chargers you have around. You're probably going to be using your Raspberry Pi. You're just going to plug it in and leave it. So why not get a plug for it? But yes, it does use a micro USB for charging, but it needs to be 5 amps, right? Is that right? 2 amps.
All right. So there's a Raspberry Pi kit, with a case and power, and it's from Vilros, and it's $50.
Yeah, I'd go. That's what I have. I have a Vilros. I think that's.
And that's it doesn't include an SD card.
Oh, get one with an SD card, unless you have a. You want to get a fast one.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. All right. So I have some
research on a tangent. To
do. We are off on a tangent, but that's my pick.
There is, and just FYI, Jeff, there is a Homebridge Wemo plugin.
Yeah.
Okay. So listeners. I am crowdsourcing to you. Tell me which Raspberry Pi package I need to buy off of Amazon.
Get the Vilros one.
Well, there's a couple from Vilros.
Okay, we'll talk offline. But okay. Online. Yeah, okay.
But we're roping the listeners in too, because I trust every single one.
Okay, sounds good. So with that, we're going to do the rest of our picks, because I already picked the Raspberry Pi, so love it. I would love to get my hands on a on a Zero, but you can't find them. You just can't get a damn Raspberry Pi Zero. But one of these days. Jeff, what is your pick?
My pick, I'm going with a game this week.
Ooh.
And the game is called Mechorama, and it's Mekorama. And it reminds me a little bit of, what was it? Monument Valley. So it's not really M.C. Escher style, but like Monument Valley, you can spin each level around.
Cool.
And look at, and you know, so you can look at it from different angles. And so you have this little robot that you need to figure out how to get from a starting point to an ending point on each level. And you can pick it up for free. It has in-app purchases. I haven't even bothered to figure out what the in-app purchases are yet. It's just, it's nice graphics. It's not difficult to play, but some levels, I mean, you have to really like look and think to figure out how to move your little robot around to get him where he needs to go. And I haven't even bothered to mess around with the QR code stuff that comes along with each level. I've been totally satisfied just playing each level. And then as you complete a level, it unlocks more for you so you can keep going. And it's just a fun little diversion for a game. And so far, I haven't found any need to drop any money into it, so it's free.
Nice.
What's it called?
Mechorama.
Mechorama. So it's M-E-K, not M-E-C-H. And I got turned on to that one from a friend and listener, Terry. So thanks, Terry.
Okay, and Adam, what's your pick?
I am going to pick an oldie but a goodie because it's been updated. I'm going to pick the Incident TV for Apple TV from Big Bucket Software.
So from Big what software?
Big Bucket.
That is so not what I thought you said.
Big Bucket Software. This was like one of the early games that was available for iPhone, The Incident. You remember The Incident?
Yeah.
So it's you got the little guy. It's an 8-bit pixel game. You're a little guy, and there's like cars and trucks and refrigerators and anvils and stuff falling from the sky.
Oh, and they fall.
Yeah, and you jump up.
I forgot.
And you try and get higher and higher. You try and see how high you can get on the pile of stuff that's falling down while avoiding the stuff hitting you on the head. But they just came out with a new updated version for the Apple TV. So it's called the Incident TV. You can get it on your 4th-gen Apple TV. And what's awesome is it's up to 4 players.
Ooh.
And you can use the Incident app on your iPhone or iPad as a control surface for the game. So you can get up to 4 people playing. So, and I haven't seen that many 4-player Apple TV games.
So is this...
It's $3.99. It's a separate version for Apple TV, so you do have to buy it.
Okay.
And then you have to have the 99-cent app, or if you have extra, you know, Bluetooth controllers, or you can use those as well. So you can control it with an iPhone, an iPad, an Apple TV Bluetooth controller, or you know, of course, your remote as well, your Apple TV remote.
Sweet.
That's really cool.
So, man, I wish there was a way to link to Apple TV apps.
I have the link for the Apple TV app. It won't do anything on your computer other than show it to you on the in your browser, but I can give it to you.
Yeah, give it to me. I shall take it. Cool.
So I'll put that in the Skype chat for you.
And so my pick is going to be, I'm going to say for Jeff, do you want a clear case or do you want a black case?
Black.
Black? Okay.
I guess I could, it doesn't matter.
I think the black case you can pop, I don't know if you can pop the top off and get access to the GPIO. I'm going to go with the clear case because I know that works.
Okay. It's not going to be important if you're building it as a Homebridge hub because you're just going to plug it in. And
okay, black case, fine. Black
not
case.
Really deal with the input-output pins.
Yeah.
You're basically making a $35 little server.
Yeah. So this so one...
We live in the future.
This one is probably maybe more than you were expecting. $70.
All right.
But it's a complete starter kit. Has HDMI cable, the SD card, 16 gig SD card, the power supply, the case, and the Raspberry Pi. Everything you need to make your own. You can make a little home theater thing. I think that's pretty much what this is typically used for, especially with the black case, for putting like XBMC and stuff on there.
Okay.
But otherwise, you know, Adam, how do you power your Pi?
Oh, I don't, just a micro USB thing that I plugged in.
Okay. Yeah. So you could technically just do that. So you could just buy the Raspberry Pi $35. So that's going to be my pick, but for Jeff.
Thank you.
We'll go with that.
And I'm looking forward to hearing what listeners say too.
Yeah.
So I won't buy it right now. I'll wait.
Cool. But the Pi is awesome. So with that, you can get all the iPhone picks and the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. Tell a friend. Send feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Questions, comments. And for Jeff's thing, maybe tweet at him. He is at jgamut on Twitter. And he's at the Mac Observer every day. And the TMO Daily Observations podcast as well. Definitely check that out. And Adam Christensen can be found at the MacCast, MacCast.com, and at MacCast on Twitter. Thanks, both of you.
Yeah, hey, thank you.
Yeah, it's always fun. Every single week.
And with that, you can find me at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.